study with them on a daily basis, and their Talmidim who studied with them when they were in the yeshiva, and have those special moments when we have an opportunity to meet and to hear Divrei Torah, and they always, always made themselves available. I can't think of any occasion where we've called our Rosh Yeshiva and asked them for an event of ours to be available where they even hesitated. And today we have two of our Rosh Yeshiva, Sheshmam Holchim Lifnehem, and they will be addressing us. Meinyone Dioma. The first is Moshe David Tendler, who will be speaking on the subject of behavioral genetics and Bechira Chavshis. And the second is Rav Hershel Schechter, who will be addressing us on Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim. And both of them are very, very busy, as are all of us. And so we're going to start on time and ask Rav Tendler to please present the first lecture. With our greatest thanks and appreciation.
Move forward if you prefer.
If that works.
We need to do some of the lights, I think. Chronology is a special interest here. Look at the dates of what I'm putting on the board. If you can dim the lights a little bit. This is a JAMA article, Journal American Medical Association, of 1993. This article appeared hidden away in one of these ethics, sociology type of articles they live in sometimes. And the title caught my eye. I read JAMA because I need it for the coursework. And it always proves to be a goldmine of information on what society is thinking. Neurophysiology, philosophy on collision course? ? Essentially, what it has over here is results of a new machine that appeared, a PET machine, which has the ability to measure brain activity in real time. You can tell when your emotional centers are active by presenting you with something to read, tell whether it's anger, whether it's pleasure, etc. The insightful comment that he makes is, rapid advances in neuroscience may shed new light on the old question whether humans have free will. Once a JAMA article starts talking about Bechir Choshes, realize it's moving into our territory. The existence of free will, the ability of humans to act as moral beings, not subject to physically or divinely imposed necessities, or what is it, is a cornerstone of law, religion, and most people's understanding of themselves. English translation, Olenara lo sasagovo, those of Sadat Psubis, right, that onus achmona patre, that coerced behavior is not worthy of guilt, is not defined as guilty behavior, and of course then there's no reward for that either. Two go together, Bechira Chavshis and the belief in Schava Onish. There's no Bechira Chavshis, there cannot be any Schava Onish. You will see how the Chachamim have always associated the two. Some violence is without question biologically driven, said Derek Miller. Right? Some people get angry, say angry for 2 minutes, others sulk for 3 days. It's highly probable that the length and intensity of anger in some people is biologically driven. Suddenly, another gets angry. But how angry? Angry enough to kill? Angry enough to hit? If it's biologically driven, he has no freedom. He has no choice. That's what he meant by the title, Neurophysiology, Philosophy, and Collision Course. It's not only philosophy, it's also our legal system. Legal system, at least in Western civilization, exempts an individual from responsibility for acts that were performed under coercion. And if there is a biologically coercive force functioning, if genetics will determine, as we'll see, how you behave, and more behavioral genetics is laying claim to specifically complex behaviors, anger, as we'll see, addiction, sexual orientation, then how can you talk about mitzvah, about aveva, about schar onesh, or claim bechira chofshis? In 1994, I said chronology is important. This is a New York Times quick summation of an article that appeared in Science. In 1994, they did a postmortem, an old postmortem, on one of the most famous accidents in psychology and now in ethics. That's the Phineas Gage accident. Phineas Gage was a young fellow who was tamping dynamite into a hole the way they blew up, those who might remember, when they were building the Pollack Library, our library. They had to blow up some granite mountain, and it was done pretty much the same way. They drilled a hole, put in nitroglycerin, stuffed it with rags, and then detonated it, and pieces of the mountain would come off. Well, this fellow was doing it, he was detonating it, he was tamping it down, and it detonated and drove a crowbar through his eye. If you read the full details, and this fellow, it went through the eye and out, right in there, went all the way through. He got up, walked away, went into a bar, they gave him a drink, went home. A little bit of a headache or something. What happened is, he lost his moral judgment. People knew him before. After this accident, he seemed to be fine. No neurological deficit. There are some parts of the body that are not essential, like the brain. Right? It's not used often, so that would be dangerous. But they saw he lost his moral judgment. The fellow was gentle and moral before somebody behaved. And they went ahead. This postmortem was only to determine exactly what part of the brain did this crowbar destroy. They reconstructed it, and they focused in on a little section of the frontal lobe. That's important, as we'll see. When that first article appeared, I began keeping a file on the frontal lobe. That's what this file I'm sharing with you now. Here's again and again in medical literature. And they came to the conclusion, old accident points to brain's moral center. Now, which means if someone had his moral center destroyed, then he no longer can be guilty of sin, no longer can be accused of non-legal activity. So if you follow it up, and you see, Seeds of Sociopath. This is now November 2000. You wouldn't want your child to date either of these two British teens, a report from the British Medical Journal. a neuroscientist, right, you just said blame serious head injuries that in both cases damaged a tiny spot of the brain just above the eyes. It turned the boys into walking time bombs because the trouble didn't show up until years after the injuries. The part of the brain in question is a tiny area in the orbital frontal cortex, the same area destroyed by previous days. And here, two kids, two teenagers who were forced to behave normally, after a while, they killed and raped, etc., etc. When they were studied by this neurophysiologist, they found something in that area was blemished, missing, or tumorous, etc. And therefore, the part of the brain in question, you see, is a teeny tiny area. Researchers surmise this region plays a big role in judgment and impulse control. It allows people to balance their needs and desires against morality and values. English translation, it determines your ego. Whether you choose to be moral or not, will determine whether that part of the brain is functioning properly. So, I kept following up the study in different parts, and this is from Lancet, the most reputable British journal. A man who borrowed cars, right? Perfectly normal individual, got into an accident, a car accident. He was a well-respected individual, responsible physician, in a company that sold cars, etc. After the accident, he suddenly began to borrow cars. And in the course of years, right, over the next 17 years, he spent 8 locked up during more than a dozen stays in prison, a compulsive urge to borrow a car. He never tried to sell the cars, merely took them and abandoned them someplace. Strange case. They finally got him into a hospital instead of a prison. And also by that time, they developed the CAT scan, study the brain non-invasively. CT scan showed a small lesion in the right orbital frontal paramedial region. Again, that same region comes up. Phineas Gage had that area. Those two kids who turned violent had that area affected. The fellow who borrows cars has that area affected. And then behavioral psychologists got into the act, and suddenly they began to flood the literature with claims of specific genetic control over complex behavior. And this, some of you might have remembered this, this appeared in U.S. News and World Report, how the politics of biology shapes opinion, policy, and one's self-image, and the question, born bad? Is there such a thing as born bad? What did Mo tell us? Right? That's a kriva. That's your choice. Right? So now we have evidence that's not true. That they're born bad. Right? What's this evidence? By the way, from that Gemara, you also see that a fellow can be a tipish and chooses to be a tzaddik. Okay. So last month, and that's just a chilik, what your own psychological orientation is, how you read the paper, right? New York Times, 28th of August, that's already current, of this year, study finds big increase in black men as inmates since 1980. And the chishbonus they made, very nice chishbonus, study found that in year 2000, there was 791,000 black men in jail and 603,000 enrolled in college. In 1980, 20 years before, there were 143,000 in jail and 403,000 people, black people in college. So something happened. The black people are preferring to go to jail than to college. But that study, that this question, U.S. and U.S. World News, born bad,
is, of course, the article pushes the fact,
well, maybe we treat the black people unfairly, we more likely send a black man to jail than a white man to jail, but that might explain the difference, etc. But not so.
Not so, because if you put it together, you realize this thing has been festering for almost 20 years. A shocking look at black and crime. Are a third of young black men criminals? Simpsons, what woke up the people to the differences between black and white, that black people think differently, black people think you can get away with murder. But one in three black men in their 20s are in jail. Throughout the United States, one third of the population is in jail. What is it? So the psychologist got in on the deal and said, well, let's study. We have a whole bunch of people to study. You get good results when you have masses of people. Let's study their genotype. We can now look at gene spectrum. Maybe we'll find a gene that explains why they go to jail. So this battle went on already for 20 years before someone had the bright idea. Because black people have been going to jail before this study. And the political pressures didn't allow the government to fund that study. Finally, the study was funded. And this is what this reference is. Right? Disputed meeting to ask if crime has genetic roots. This is 1995. Okay? And they did the genetic study. Right? And very strangely, the research is still under analysis. The data hasn't been published. This meeting was held. The data was accumulated. Hasn't been published. Obviously, political reasons for not letting it get published. Whatever the results are irrelevant, is irrelevant to our discussion. The assumption of the study was maybe there is a genetic basis for it. That crime is determined by a specific gene. Remember, we're talking about, I used that term before, complex behavior. You know, genes determine specific activities of the nervous system. But a complex behavior like crime, stealing cars, and killing and raping women, determined by a gene, a combination of genes, is that possible? So let's move from secular sources to our sources. We have an axiom that we deal with, an absolute. The Rambam sums it up in Hilchos Teshuva, Rishus L'Chol Adam. Here for you. Get any clearer than that, but. Sorry. Anyway, Rishus L'Chol Adam Nitna on the Sunnah Im Rotzel Lahatos Atzmo L'Derech Tova V'Liyud Sadeke Rishus B'Yodo Im Rotzel Lahatos Atzmo L'Derech Ra Liyus Rosh Rishus B'Yodo Uchukosu Batora Heina Adam Hoya Kacha Memeno L'Das Tova Ra. Then comes the absolute statement. Al yavo b'machshavtecha davar zeh she'omrim tipshei yumos ha'olam v'rov gomi b'nei Yisrael she'akadosh baruch hu gozer al ha'odom mitchilas b'riyoso liyusadik ha'rosha. Ein ha'davar kein ela kol odom roi lo liyusadik k'moshe rabbeinu o rosha ki yirova. That's absolute, that's given. No one can question that. That's the foundation of our faith. Service at all. What do you do with all that data? And the Rambam quickly links it, as you have to, right? Therefore, if kvar nigzer olav o toldoso, right? Tim shechos ledavo sheyef shel losuv mimenu, right? Mamokam hoyel lechalatora kulo ubeiz edin beiz mishpat. Nifra min arosho mishalim shtar latzadik. Hashofit kol haoretz lo yaseh mishpot. How can you have shtar ba'onesh? There's no freedom. The Rambam links the two together, so two foundations of our faith. An imam of the moon of Shoemo, that Kodesh Boko is ma'anish the Rishon and knows the shtar latzadikim. And the fact that Kodesh Boko is not gozer b'chiva. You have to, when Boko does over harta b'chayim, he advises you to choose chayim. But you have you can choose any way you want. The Rambam here uses a word that's very critical. It says, what? Dovor she'efshar lozuz mimenu. Is there a force that you cannot move from it? Doesn't question that maybe a force. This is a force that immobilizes you, that you must do rishus or you must do something for the good. He defines extra washing in the number. Dovah sheyesha lozuz mimenu. And we'll see that's the basic approach of all the Rishonim, how to explain the reality that behavior is controlled by certain genetic traits. That it's true, there is a genetically controlled behavior. If you've never had a chance to read it, it's worthwhile. Unfortunately, I had a velus this summer. You know, the sister of mine had passed away, and I showed him on the elephant, the elephant's wife there. So I, on the way in Scranton, sitting Shiva with our children, I did kneel at the Lord to do for a long Shiva away from home. I decided I never did an intensive study of Eve, but I told Shem they were completely kneel with the Malbun. And that's the Hakdama of the Malbun on Eve. Right? The Malbun lays down the principle. Right? That what? The Sivas, he says, the Sivas HaShela Zu, because of the Shela of Eve, HaSeif HaKodesh HaZeh Mavu Min Yonu Chupu, what? Avo HaSeid HaNir Banhoga, Asha Yesh Tzadikim Shemagi Aleyem Kamasa Roshoyim, Yesh Roshoyim Shadalkam Tzlicha, Yilchu Gam Yasu Preri, Gam Bochno Olekir Mayim Lotu, Vahi HaShelem Neyma Yesh Tzadik Vahalo, Vyesh Vosha Vatovlo, Omo Chazal Shinizkashe Bo Gam Odon HaNevim, Moshe Rabbeinu Biki Sharini Noz Kodecha, Ki Besivas HaShel HaZos, Right, Sokhu HaMinim, Chokhu HaMinim, Right, the kofru v'hashgocha v'amru sha'olam hefker ein schar v'enonish les din v'les dayim v'kvod Hashem yishalel. It's put down, it's Hagdama, and that's how it develops. The four friends of Eve's question starts off with an affirmation that we're reading in the this morning. Heil anuna v'enobel sadik v'yoshahu. That's given. God does not go evil. Once you have that, then I have a problem. So how do you explain? Tzadik b'ra'alo v'ashem tov. That sure sounds like Eve. And therefore, Eve, according to the Malbim, understanding presents, v'asher kol ma'aseh b'nei adam hein l'tzedek hein l'rasha hein mamuchrochim uksuvim min ha'mareches. Mareches, English translation, nature, natural forces, genetics, ve'enu chofshi b'masav, Al kein ein magiyo lo lo schaav la onir shal masav ha-bechirim. Kod Hashem made a world, put us in the world, and the world goes by natural law. If you get caught, too bad for you. It's not that God punished you. It just so happens if you fell into a pit, a havel, something that one of our strange brethren made a lot of money on publishing a book. Why do bad things happen to good people? And presented a chaos theory, which is basically the theory of evil, that evil started with it. That the world has a chaotic substructure. And it's not that God punished you. It so happens that you fell into a pit, you got caught. That was Eve's sign, because Eve had two axioms. God is a tzaddik and I'm also a tzaddik. I know I'm also a tzaddik. Therefore, it must be that those things just happen to him. He gets caught in the madness, gets caught into the wheels of nature. That's what caught him.
The rest of Eve are attempts of the friends of Eve to explain. So they try, and so he remembers, it's clear in the Rambam, in Gidul, in the Moed Avuchim,
where the Rambam also analyzes, Mabel pretty much elaborates on the Rambam's approach. The first one had a time name, you're not a tzaddik, there are hidden sins you don't know about. The second one says, well, the reward and punishment is a bottom line figure. Now it's bad, God will make it up to you. You lost, your children died, you'll get more children. Each one Eve rejects until Elihu shows up, and Elihu says, in simplistic terms, come outside, you know how the world works, you know how little bear, big bear, you understand how the stars function, etc., etc. If you don't understand God in relation to nature, why do you want to understand the more complex relationship known as the man-God relationship? And basically he says, he goes with Amina, who asks her to have faith, that God knows what he's doing.
Kodesh Baruch Hu puts his stamp of approval on Elihu's answer to Eve. At occasion, Yesh Yom Tov, by Mincha L'Mairev, to go through much of the Drosh L'Raman Rosh Hashanah.
I've done that a number of times in Shir. If you haven't ever gone through, the thing is, well, the Ramban is famous for his Shabbason, right? It takes the word Shabbason and shows that it covers most of the Rabbanot. But the Yisr Asay of Shabbason, really, the Rav Rabbanon we're talking about in the Yisuri Rabbanon, as he asks, Shabbos Daraisa, what does Shabbos Daraisa look like? The man is, Rokhe Bal Suso, Hosea Chanuso, Akam Yoshe Besido, Bukosev, right? All the Rabbanon, Dubi Shabbos Amur Latova. Therefore, the word Shabbason means not Shabbos Day. You gotta make sure that what you do is Shabbos Day. You can't pitch manure all day Shabbos and say, I'm not over on any Yisur. You're over on Yisur, Daraisa of Shabbason. But this other half of the Ramban is especially interesting to us because it relates to this whole problem of predestination, of is man compelled to behave in a certain way? Right? Says. And he starts off with Akasha Rab Yochanan. Rab Yochanan says, Rab Rosh Hashanah Gil Svon Sukkim. Right? And what? And most of you, Rabbanim, when your president came over to you after Maidah, the first night of Rosh Hashanah, why do you say it then? The Kosev is the Kosev La'alta L'chaim. You think he's a Tzadik Gomel? But then he said, Tzadik Gomel was left on the altar. So suddenly everybody's a Tzadik Gomel. I mean, Rosh Hashanah, you make fun of people. It's not nice. That's the Ramban's passion. He said, Yishishol Heich, Kosev Rab Yochanan, meaning about the Gimel Sforum Sukkim. Right? I think I got out Omer Kaseh, Shakol Vosi Ogam through your book, Tzadikim Gimur, Lepton, Lepton, Lealta, Lechayim, Kol HaTzadikim Chayim, Kol HaShom, Amesim, Halo Olam, Bechol, Chemda Shalom, Roshom, He. A lot of Roshom are living pretty well. What happened last Rosh Hashanah? How come they didn't get it last Rosh Hashanah? Why did God lower the boom on them last Rosh Hashanah?
And he really twists the knife, right? Vichilo, Ro, Zeh HaChocham, Sakhaina Rabbi Yochanan, Sefer Iyuv, Me'olam, Shumoli Tochokos Hazeh, Vachaveirav, Ha'omu Mitchilo, Ki Tzadadikim, Eskayim Marashom, Nechosim, Iyuv, Notzchon, Iyuv, rebutted all their arguments. So we're left with that question. So what did you do? And he comes up with this big pshat chidush, namely, that Tzadik Gomer means,
like we talked in our current legal system, right? You had a 5-4 vote in your favor, you're a Tzadik Gomer. You made it. All it means, he says, is this Rosh Hashanah. But the Gomer decided that the Rosh will get his reward for the one mitzvah that he did. Therefore, he's a Tzadik Gomer. Because he went up on trial, and there was a Malach Eppel Mini Eleph, who was Lagi Lodam came to his favor. He told his brother, let him go by the sheet. Same Russia he was all the time. But now he's called a Sadi Gomer. That's what the Yoshua is. Sadi Gomer means he made it in this trial. The trial worked out in his favor. He got a good lawyer, whatever it is. Paid off the judge. It's not likely in such a case. So therefore, it had to be some explanation. But it's based upon a local scene, namely this Rosh Hashanah. No guarantees for next year. Rosh Hashanah could be a man who is basically a tzaddik. But because the one Aveda that Kodesh Baruch Hu decided to punish him for this year, therefore he'll be left on the Nisa. Even though there's no relationship in the tzitzis between the two people.
What my eye also was on Tuesday, in the Slichas on Tuesday, you had a beautiful Slichas which basically asked the question that is the equivalent of Vidu or Shandu Mikolom with a question mark. Is that true?
How can you say, we're the worst people around? The worst than the Yisbala, the worst than the PLO? We're the worst, worse than Iraq, worse than Iran.
And this is this piyut. God, just if some of you remember reading the Yeras Teman, the Yeras Teman ends with a strange, almost code that the Rambam ends with. He said, "Umishma, Umaso, Umishma, Beduma," referring to the three sons of Nishmoel that you have in the end of Matthew.
What does it mean? Mishma, you should listen, right? Umasa, you should bear it. Keduma, keep shut up and keep quiet. That's the quote ending of the Yeras Teman.
Here, you have it here. The chisi ve'edma me'ol masa u'mishma. That's what the reference to it is. Ve'hema logu alai hachivu u'shma. Meni keter shlo eshma. Right? Eich u'chatzoni alakayim achavu l'chubosh. U'mil tepalti, and he has it sharper. The last, the second half of this, he has. The question posed, right? Ech shavata ma'avai, v'natavta chalvi, u'meri ve'nafshi, Lord, after leaving.
Why is it my sins you punish me for, and those who are my enemies who are destroying me, their sins you didn't take care of?
So we allowed it in the slichas, that kasha.
Why you ask a kasha? When you ask a kasha, and it's been asked for 1,000 years, it takes away the religion-shattering impact of a question.
Others ask the question, or be here, they ask the same question, and they remain Jews. Can't be that terrible. That's a way to live with it. That's the advantage of a kasha that has no tevets. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to some more. Here's what the literature got filled up with. Tainus of people, there's an addiction gene. An alcoholic,
a drug user has an addiction gene.
And the maskone that they seem to be coming to is that what? Although most studies with alcoholics have come up empty-handed, there's no negative data with respect to drug abusers.
There's been a machlokes on alcoholism. Is it genetically determined? That machlokes. On drug usage, all the studies have confirmed there's a genetic basis to it.
So the cocaine heroin users, they should have a taina. I had no bechira chofshis. My father was a heroin user because he had the gene and transferred the gene to me. The gay lifestyle, and this is my good friend Avram Steinberg from Shai Sedek Hadassah.
Pediatric neurologist and one who wrote me now the massive work, the fabulous work, encyclopedia of the medical ethics in Hebrew. Fred Roswell is busy translating into English. Five-volume work, fabulous work, all along of the help there.
He unfortunately fell into this trap, right? And answered, there's no a tendency to homosexuality, there's no reason to perform an abortion. He was asked, should you abort kids?
If I can find the gene for homosexuality. It so happens there is no credible evidence of any gene for sexual orientation. studies, the three studies that claim it, were all written by homosexuals. No straight man scientist ever was able to reproduce their results. But the time is there, so that now you have what? A peer research. We're talking about like some of our brothers like to say, ketoavity is an abomination. If you get the next pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, most yom sushnei, the mayhem book. Not an abomination. I know my children that are growing up, broccoli and cauliflower were abominations. Abomination you get away with. But most yom sushnei you can't away with. So it's a chiv misa. It's controlled by a gene. No genes for that. But here you have, and now it's presented to you what is empiric evidence. Absolutely. No one questions this. That is evidence found for a possible aggression gene. Evidence found. And the next one will identify the gene. We now know exactly where the gene is. We can identify the gene for aggression. Abnormal behavior associated with point mutation of a structural gene. For monoamine oxidase A, I can find the gene, show that those who have the gene have a tremendous, was a rap sheet, a criminal record for little things like associated with a complete sector fritz, and the what they involved in, borderline mental retardation, abnormal behavior. What is it? Impulsive aggression, arson, attempted rape, exhibitionism. Put that man in prison. I can show that he has that gene. This monoamine oxidase gene has been confirmed by every study. But I got other problems. So has the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos has Siv Apinkasei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Haiman the Bechad B'Shabba, Yegeber V'Lochad Baby. What? A fellow born on Sunday is either all good or all bad, as the Gemara concludes. Right, well, that's what it means. Mikulu is either Kulu Latova, right, or Kulu Labisha, right? Haiman B'Tchei B'Shabbos, etc., etc. And then the Gemara argues, no, maybe he's wrong. It's not true. And look what they attribute to the accident of birth, right? This he'll be, if he's Bachmisha B'Shapta, he's a Ger Gomel Chasodim. So a fellow is a big Bal Chesed. Not because he's a nice fellow, because he had no choice. He was born on Thursday. So what can you do? You have to find that guy. That's the guy you go to if you need a loan, right? He's compelled to behave that way. Right? And they argue, right? Amalu Rabharina, Puk Imrulu Barlevoy, go tell the Yeshua ben Levi, he's wrong. Lo Mazel Yom Gorem, Lo Mazel Shor Gorem. It's not the day, it's the time of the day that determines it. Then the Gemara presents Rabbi Yochan Amar, Ein Mazel Yisrael. But you have a reputable people. Yeshua ben Levi was one of the few who went to Gan Eden without dying, right? Hell, but what are you supposed to do? He's cool with Isha or cool with Tova, what should he do? Here's they did the prenatal diagnosis, right? Because they come to it there. The good news is that you'll have a healthy baby girl. The bad news is that she's a congenital liar. It's a joke. That's what a fellow poking fun at the behavioral geneticists, right? And those people who claim she's determined. So they determined that, yeah, it's okay, but she'll be a liar. But that's what is making it into the field today. I can't tell you how many legal defenses have been raised based upon a claim of a genetic tendency. But we have something that really is exciting. This is a brand new study to show you how smart the Rambam is. Okay? This study is already from the most reputable journal we have, Science, 2nd of August 2002. Okay, it's last month.
Role of genotype in the cycle of violence in maltreated children.
I don't know how many of you picked it up because it was given a short shrift in the news, but what does it say, the key?
We studied a large sample of male children from birth to adulthood. Why some children who are maltreated grow up and develop antisocial behavior, others do not.
It's a unique cohort, of a unique subset of society. Kids who are maltreated. And among that group who are maltreated, doctor children, foster children, etc. Maltreated meaning physically maltreated, sexually abused, etc. A percentage of them grow up to be abusers themselves, and a percentage not. And they showed is strictly related to that monoamine oxidase gene, the one that was mentioned by aggression. And it showed, right, that the enzyme monoamine oxidase A was found to moderate the effect of maltreatment. If they have the gene and they have maltreatment, the gene protects them, the good gene. If that gene is mutated, then the maltreatment leads them into an abusive behavior pattern. So now you have interaction of nurture and nature, interaction of environment and genes. In other words, two kids exposed to the same environment, one will become an abuser, one will not become an abuser, depending on the monoamine oxidase gene.
Now that is what the Rambam was warning us, right? And the Rambam gave a special attention in Hilchos Deos. There are Briyoso Shalotim, Rizimshar, Beleyoso, Vemaso, Vacharei, Vachavero, Venoe, Kiminek, Ansheya, Medinoso. That's a fact.
If you be abused, you grow up in an abusive environment, you become an abuser. If you grow up in an environment with a Sholem, you become a Russian.
What then? What do you do? Head for the hills. Right? Therefore, what are you supposed to do? Holech, Hezachami, Echkam, Bavol, Kisilim, Yero, etc., etc. And therefore, what? If you can't get away from these people, Mhoyu Kola Medino Sho Yodim Yodon Bishoma Yeshmosa Noagi Medeh Lotovov, Himoz Manenu, Oshino Yokal Alechan Dina Shimagasto Meria, Opa Play Holy, Yeshev Labado Yehidi, Kinyan Shanemar, Yeshev Bodo Vidom. Right? And if he can't, head for the hills. They won't let him, right then. Tremendous emphasis on the impact of environment on the individual. Take that into, in scientific terminology, what does he say?
A person may have a gene that leads him into aggression, but will not be expressed unless he's abused. So that the same individual in another environment will be a target. In this environment, he will become a mushroom. Because abuse, in other words, environment plus gene, will lead to abusive behavior.
What's the answer? What's the way out?
What do we have? We have scientific evidence that indeed genes can determine complex behavior. Not as many as they thought they did so far. All we have is really solid. We have the aggression gene and most likely alcoholism are the two that's all that stood, withstood the test of time of replication. But what are you supposed to do? There may very well be other genes. Complex behavior, start chopping it up into what complex behavior means. And what will lead you to do something which you really can't control.
So the tenets is, what Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Kayin?
One of the tibbutz in matter, two tibbutz. But the focus at the time, Naim, Ahab, have a walking one. So what did he answer? Hashem will walk in open. And he would. The chutzpah of such an answer came, he's talking to God. Kain knew who God was. So God asked him, Naim, Ahab, what did Hashem will walk in open? Such a chutzpah, if I'm out of the war, right? Because the book was saying, put it in the toilet. I think it's a chutzpah to chutzpah to answer. And I sure honored me by writing a sacred door. I don't believe about that person. Right? What's the necessity for that possibility? Well, look, I elaborate on it, but I found This is from in the Torah Shleima. He quotes a medrash, right? Shasha ha'ar tayin ha'sevel amal ha'kadosh baruch hu ei hevel achicha amal ha'tona rebenu shleilem ani ve'hevel, right? Heviu v'nosto heviu doven lufanecha ve'hevel kibalta v'li hevzata b'pachi nefesh mimeni ato mevakshu halo eino misbakish ele mimoch sh'ato mishamel kol adriyos.
What if I had to do that? Only a tiny, a brilliant man like Tiny could do this. I thought it was in the code. No, Tiny answered, am I my brother's keeper? You are my brother's keeper. You watch over people, yeah? I became a murderer, how to become a murderer? You gave me the genes to be a murderer. If you didn't want people to murder, you wouldn't have given us the ability to murder. So you're asking me such a question? Atam Mishamir Sabilios. You want the people not to kill to be murderers? Give them genes. Not the monoamine oxidase mutated gene. Make sure everybody has a good gene monoamine oxidase. But the Medrash puts in a reminder. Remember, we had a previous encounter with the British Rebbe. Right? When each one bought a bill in Hashem, any time you bought an offhand to the unthinking home Hashem, some old vegetables, and Hashem bought the Meitav Tzono. He got no accepted heaven. But after that came up a dialogue, a discussion with him, with Tanya. Like, Father Grover asked him, why woman about the Panefa? Why are you angry? Right? How long take to say it? The low takes it. La Pesa Chatas Hovitz. They left out to Shuk Koso. English translation, you have a genetic tendency for regression. But I told you, you need to go. That's what the Rambam meant by that language, right? Eino yochol lozuz mimenu. Kodesh Baruch Hu never gave you a gene that eino yochol lozuz mimenu. What are you telling me? As a genetic tendency, but yet you expect him to behave? That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu said. Sure, there are genetic tendencies. Sure, you can have a monoamine oxidase mutated gene. For Arto Timshel Bo, that was the answer. That's the reference to before. So Kodesh says he remembered that, but he didn't remember what Kodesh Bo warned him. Yes, I made a Kayin with an aggression gene. But you can overcome the aggression gene. I think I must have mentioned this once publicly. My Shvez Zatzal once came home from a meeting, Gudis Yisrael, he was fuming. Not as sensitive as a miser, but investing money in a project in Eretz Yisrael. I asked him, why are you so angry? He said, you should know I have a terrible temper. And every morning when I wake up, I have to tell myself, remember, watch your temper. The Shred came over, of course, to society as a meek, a humble individual. He said, no, that's not my genes. Yeah, look at the last Tiferes Yisrael in Kedushin, where he speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu with a sheikh who wants to know what Moshe Rabbeinu, where he, basically, the punchline is Moshe Rabbeinu says, yes, I have genetic tendencies for all kinds of terrible things. Right? But I was bogar on them. Therefore, I became ohuv lamokom ohuv labrios. If not, he says, that would be a bump on a log. What? God made me good. No, God didn't make me good. God made me the way he made me. And I made myself good. That's why I deserve for the Gopu's grace. That's tenets number one. There's a second tenets, which is the advantage of coercive learning. It means that you have to prepare something for the Balabatim. Or for the yeshiva boys. Shari Chuvil Rabbi Niona. He has right at the beginning, right? He says, Huzana ala Chuvil becoming Mekomes Batova. Even though you're doing tshuva, of course, you're hurting. Listen to this language. What's he saying? If the nature doesn't allow them to do tshuva, but you want to do tshuva,
That's what it means. Umol Hashem levofcha. Shom Hashem lekecha zavofcha zavav zarecha lahasik ba'avoso.
Then Kadosh Baruch Hu will make a genetic transfer. Your genes are preventing you from doing tshuva. But you want to do tshuva,
then Kadosh Baruch Hu reaches down, right? V'shavtar Hashem alekecha, right? Then Mol Hashem eslevotcha v'svav zarecha.
So God comes in and does a cardiac transplant. He does a genetic transplant. He makes the gene that doesn't let him, let you do tshuva, he inactivates that gene. It's called a knockout gene. It's done regularly in the laboratory. You can knock out a gene. The bad gene, you knocked it out, and now you can do tshuva.
But you need the first step. You have to reach out to Kodesh Baruch Hu. You reach out to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu reaches back and says, Baruch Hashem levofcha zavav zarecha.
That's basically what Moshe was running this Erev Yom Kippur there to complete what basically is, I'm sure, an ongoing file. But the teretz, the kashas may come more kashas, more hayas, but the same teretz is there. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not mitzvah yasa adam to do good or bad. Surely God made people with different tendencies. A Rosh Gvir can't thank the British Lord, why did you make me an Oshir? After all, Abom Yom Kom Yitzir Savlad, he says, Oshir Oani. Had I not been an Oshir, I wouldn't exploit my workers. You made me an Oshir, I had workers, but had I been an Oni, not, Oni says, I wouldn't steal if you made me an Oshir. Well, Oni. An Oshir has his tendencies, Oni has his tendencies, and Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I expect both of you to be tzaddikim. But Sadiq Barosh Allah, Kodesh Baruch Hu never commanded that. Thank you.
Hearing of Schechter. Here's a couple of years of